Jim along with Max Ryan. It's Patch Friday. Celebrate start of the weekend. Text calls 970-242-1340. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Friday. Avs Winnipeg on Sunday. Your thoughts on that? We'll have a preview with Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex, coming up in just a little bit. Of course, Avs looking to get a little payback after they lost last Saturday to Winnipeg 7-0. But that first game, Sunday, at Winnipeg. Connor McGay, he just loves Winnipeg. No, actually, he hates Winnipeg. But we'll have the game Sunday pregame at 4:30. And then game two will be on April 23rd, and that'll be coming up on Tuesday. So the Stanley Cup playoffs getting underway. We'll dive into that with Jackson Wilson. And also bringing back our conversation with Scott Hastings as the Nuggets take on the Lakers tomorrow night on the team pregame at 6 o'clock. Denver begins defense of their NBA championship coming up starting tomorrow night. All right, text or call the show, 970-242-1340. We had a very interesting conversation the other day. It was you and it was Eric over on K-Star, Pat in the vault. We went to see Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. Not that I'm an ultra diehard Ghostbusters fan, but went to see it and felt like it was any of us here could have played in that, could have been in that movie. Because it felt like Paul Rudd was just being Paul Rudd. It felt like Bill Murray was just being Bill Murray. There are movies like that, you just go, are they just stealing money? Are they just, they get that and go, this is a walk in the park. Has there been a movie you've seen lately that you felt that way about, where you watched and went, I have very little acting chops, but I think I could have been in that movie because I could have just played myself as this character?
Any of the new Star Wars with Abrams and Johnson, I figure, because they feel like retreads. The same thing with Ghostbusters. Not only the one, was it Out of the Shadows or whatever it was called, the first one a couple years ago?
Oh, Afterlife?
Afterlife, sorry. Afterlife. Yeah, that's okay. Right. And no, then okay. This one is a good one as well. I saw the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare last night.
Did you like it?
I did, but I could have acted in that. I could have.
You are not stunned by Henry Cavill's acting in it? Or
I don't look like Alan Ritchson or Henry Cavill.
Okay, should he play Batman?
Ritchson?
Yeah. He wants it bad. He wants it really, really bad.
He doesn't look like Bruce Wayne.
But man, body type-wise.
Yeah, I don't know if...
He's the dude. Dude is huge. Of course, the guy plays Reacher, by the way, if you...
So yeah, if you've never seen him, he's about 6'5". He weighs like a solid 250. The guy could play every position on an NFL defense with a body like that, probably. But yeah, I mean, it's a Guy Ritchie movie, so you don't really worry about acting, right? It's about fast-paced, comedic timing, jokes, and then kind of like the overall arching thing. But yeah, I think a lot of the franchises, the reboots, the big stuff that they put out there as this newfangled material for to reintroduce you to these fandoms that you've long ago like lost touch with. I don't think we need those. Those are money grabs. Those are the ones you're talking about. Like, that's just like, hey, like, we know you love this. Here's some more of it. Oh, you want some more? Oh, here you go. Oh, no. Keep eating. Enjoy.
Yeah. It just seems like it's, you get one of those roles, you go, yeah, okay. I can ad-lib stuff if I want to here, and nobody's probably going to say boo about it.
A lot of the recent Marvel stuff for me has been like that, because I am still of the mind that Marvel should have quit while they were ahead when they did the Endgame thing. Just, it's okay, but...
We're done?
It's okay. You can be done. It's okay, you're Disney, you're Marvel, doesn't need to go till the sun burns out or whatever their plan is. And I'm a fan, and I'm a comic book fan.
I just had that thought the other day, just watching that movie going, there's nobody in this film I go, wow, that's some tremendous acting. It's incredible. It was just like, they all seem like they're just kind of playing themselves.
I feel like they're making these movies to make gimmick popcorn buckets, too. Same time, right?
Yeah.
It's like, what are you going to sell me this
time? Or get an ABC / ESPN tie-in so SportsCenter can promote whatever movie.
Oh, now you're talking. Now you're talking.
All right. It's time to go around the NFL.
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
All right. So, Messrs. Peyton and Peyton, George and Sean, met with the media. Oops, didn't mean to make that. There we go. Let's try that again. All right. So anyway, they met with the media, their pre-draft press conference. Of course, the draft is next Thursday in Detroit. And they were asking questions for, just to give you some comments here from George Payton. Might work in some Sean Payton stuff here as well. This is from their presser from yesterday leading up to the draft next week. And it sounds like they're going to take a quarterback. We'll start with George Payton.
Obviously, exciting time of the year. Players are back for phase one. The draft right around the corner. We've been busy in meetings. Just broke 3 weeks of draft meetings. I've been really impressed how the draft meetings have gone and really the entire draft process. Just the communication, the collaboration with coaches, scouts, really the entire organization. We've had a lot going on. A lot of players coming and going, so it's been all hands on deck, and it's been really impressive. Just in regards to the draft, we feel good with where we're at. We have 8 picks, and we have the 12th pick in the draft. One thing we know, we're going to get a really good player at 12. We've had teams call to move up. We've had teams call to move back. We have flexibility, but we do know at 12, if we stand pat, we're going to get a really good player. And with that, we'll take your questions.
Yeah, guys, you said really good player at 12. You know, doesn't it have to be, given this standard around here with more Super Bowls and losing seasons for a long time, Elway, Manning, don't you have to get a quarterback?
Look, I mean, do we have to draft a quarterback? You'd say, man, it sure looks like we have to draft a quarterback. And yet, It's got to be the right fit, the right one. And if we had the tip sheets as to who everyone else was taking, it'd be easier to answer that question. And so that's the puzzle here.
What you don't want to do, Mike, is force it. And, otherwise we'll be in this position next year and the years after. So you want to get the right player at 12. Our first pick we got to hit on. Whether it's a quarterback, whether it's a tackle, receiver, you name it, we need to get an impact player.
All right. He's right about that. They need to get an impact player.
Did he just say force it? That you don't want to? Did George Payton say you don't want to force it?
You don't want to force it.
How does that guy have a job still?
If things don't go well with the draft this year, of course, keep in mind, Sean Payton's played a very big role
in all of this,
in how this offseason has gone, and in the decision to cut loose Russ and everything that's gone on. And I just find it laughable when I'm just looking to reload, just looking to rebuild, or not rebuild, we're just looking to reload. No, you're rebuilding. You're clearly rebuilding. And I get what George is trying to say. You don't want to reach. You don't want to go after a guy you don't feel really, really good about being your quarterback. The problem Denver has is that their draft capital poor because of trading for Russ, trading for Sean Payton. They don't have a second-round pick right now. So they don't have a ton to work with in terms of that. They need to address the position. Because anybody that thinks that Jarrett Stidham is going to be your answer, and he's going to be some bridge to next year, where I look at, we've gone through next year's quarterback class. Everybody's just giddy about Shedeur Sanders. And I get it. I like Shedeur Sanders too. But there's no guarantee you're going to get Shedeur Sanders. And maybe Shedeur has a setback this year. Maybe he's not nearly as good this year as he was at times last year. Should be better this year. Dad spent a lot of time, resources, transfer portal, top high school offensive tackle in the country. They should be better up front. He should have a better season. He should have a healthier season. But if you're the Bron- if you're a Broncos fan, go, oh boy, be great to get Shadur. And then we talked about this yesterday, the hypocritical flip-floppy nature of Coach Prime about Travis Hunter and Shadur Sanders, about where he thinks they should go play when they go to the league. Don't want him to go to a cold weather city. Don't want Shadur to go to a cold weather city. Well, you're coaching in a cold weather town in Boulder, Colorado. So you're saying you don't want him to go to the Broncos? Why'd you take the Buffs job? Why didn't you go to Arizona State or someplace where it's warm? And then he's like, "Well, that's not what I said. I'm not trying to limit where these guys go." Well, you did say if it's not the right place, you're gonna have to pull an Eli. Referencing Eli Manning, who chose not to go to the Chargers. Carson Beck, George is a good quarterback. I mean, but I can't sit there and go, wow, he's the answer. The guys next year, Ungalele, who's bounced around a lot. I mean, those are some of the names that are out there for next year for 2025.
Milroe's still unproven as far as Alabama goes.
Exactly. Jalen Milroe, you just can't sit there and go, wow, he's a fully, polished product, but no way is he. No way, no how.
It's a great comparison to this year's quarterback draft class as well, considering the hype you referenced just a minute ago.
I just, when you look at next year's draft, if you can say, okay, well, we got to make sure we don't force it this year. We don't try to make a dumb move this year. Okay, so does that lead to next year? To you go, okay, we're gonna look for a guy next year. Who is that guy next year? Quinn Ewers? Cam Ward? Are those the guys that you think are going to come in and solve all your problems at quarterback that you gutted out this year with Stidham or whatever whatever you do at that spot? I just,
Why not?
Drew Allar from Penn State? I don't know about that.
Why not this year?
Riley Leonard?
Call New England. Call up the Patriots. Because the Patriots have said they're open for business regarding the number three spot. With the draft capital they have, why doesn't Denver angle for that? Get May, get Daniels, get Penix. Whichever one you like, whoever you like, Sean, okay? This is your show, Sean. This is, you've made this about you. You cut your sleeves off. You want to be Belichick. Okay, you're going to be Belichick.
He thinks Belichick wants to be him, actually.
Is that what it is? There's a thing. There's a thing going on.
I think it's smartest guy in the room. Sean Payton is that guy. Belichick's got six Super Bowls as a head coach. So he can say, yeah, I am the smartest guy in the room. Maybe the last few years haven't gone great, but he can still say, yeah, I'm the smartest guy in the room because you've got one and I've got six. And he's actually got more than that as an assistant coach. I just, at 12, they're in a bad spot. Now, could they possibly trade up? Because there's been talk of that. And a team that has indicated that they might be willing to move down in the draft. Though I can't see Jim Harbaugh willing to trade the Broncos till the Broncos move up from 12 to 5.
That man is a confidence artist. Harbaugh just ditches Michigan, leaves him with all the sanctions, living his best life in a camper outside of SoFi on the beach in San Diego.
I gave you a national championship, people. Look at this sweep behind and these Dockers walking oil. Out the door.
Snake oil.
I'm off to L.A.
That plane is on fire on the side of the mountain, and Jim Harbaugh is just parachuting safely down going, oh, look at that.
Now, the Chargers said they're not interested in a fair trade for number five. It has to be attractive. What does that mean? Does that mean Denver deals Cortland Sutton? Because they need receivers right now because they traded Keenan Allen to your Bears. That's...
Here we go, Caleb. Yeah. Here we go.
He's going to have some fun toys to play with, though. Keenan Allen's good. That's a good get.
If he can stay off his back, man. That's a good butt.
It's a good get.
Right.
Woo. But maybe Cortland Sutton. Maybe you throw him in. And maybe that's something that entices. But I cannot imagine the Chargers with Jim Harbaugh, who Jim Harbaugh is. I cannot imagine him going, yeah, let's make a trade with a division rival. Let's do that. Yeah, let's help those guys out. No, I wouldn't do that if I'm Jim Harbaugh. I would say no. Go pound sand, Broncos. No, anybody else but you or the Raiders or the Chiefs. Anybody but you.
But the Chargers are in a unique position considering what they have with Justin Herbert. So they don't have to go big and splashy with one of the top quarterback names. They can they can get the wide receiver. They could probably take Marvin Harrison Jr. They could go for the LSU Malik Neighbors.
Malik Neighbors, yes, that's correct.
You know, that's possibility. Rome Odunze will be on the board.
Well, and Harbaugh said this. He goes,
and they traded Mike Williams, too. They got rid of Mike Williams.
Yeah, rid of Mike Williams. He feels like, because he thinks four quarterbacks are going to go before they pick at five, he goes, we feel like we're going to get our own kind of number one overall pick. And I've thrown out the conspiracy theory in the past that Harbaugh secretly still wants to reunite with his boy, JJ.
Mr. Whitaker.
And then he would trade Herbert. I'm feeling less and less confident of that now. But that was my own little wackadoodle.
I like that.
Kind of tinfoil hat conspiracy thing.
Sniffing the whiteout take. I like it.
Yeah. It's saying actually, you know, he's you know, saying, oh, he should be the number one guy in the draft and everything. It's kind of, you know, somebody.
He's,
you know,
he's the worst. Lightly. Jim Harbaugh's the worst.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think he loves Justin Herbert as well. He should. Because probably he knows that McCarthy should have gone back for another year.
It's one of those crazy.
Somebody's going to be dumb enough to probably go up and get him. Broncos could be that one team dumb enough to try to go get McCarthy, which I don't think he's ready. But so the odds right now for LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels, he's the odds of emergence. 2 days ago, he was the clear favorite over North Carolina's Drake May to be the second overall pick. Because it's going to be Caleb Williams going to your Bears.
Woo!
So now they're both at -110. They're both now have the same odds to go at number two.
May and Daniels?
And May and Daniels.
No Penix love. I thought Penix was such a complete quarterback. I don't know. See, I think that's who the Broncos should be after right now.
Him or Bo Nix.
Right?
I feel like it's either one of those two.
Get somebody who you can maybe, just maybe,
And I find a way to maybe get into the second round, and I draft Spencer Rattler. But they have a lot of, here's the problem. Denver has a lot of needs. They have a lot of needs. And there's going to be offensive tackles out there with Garrett Bowles, you know, now 32, into his last year of his deal, where offensive line needs to get better. There's edge rushers out there. You know, guys like Verse from Florida State, guys that could help them. There's a lot of... They've looked at a lot of inside linebackers. There's a lot of talent out there that Denver could have at 12 that would help them.
Isn't it hard, though, not to drink the QB Kool-Aid, Jim? It's really hard to not do that because it's the splashy thing. It sells you jerseys.
It's a crucial position.
It sells you jerseys. You know, you get a little buzz heading into a season no matter what it is, even if you're, you know, the Raiders with Jamarcus Russell. There was hype. There was the build. And then, of course, we saw what happened. But how do you not if you're an ownership group, right? I mean, it's like what that member of the media asked George. How do you not take a quarterback considering the position you're in? Because justifying an O-line or a D-line pick to the Broncos fan base right now, that is going to be like, hey, why don't you stay put? We got you here. We're doing the Sean Payton rebuild thing. This is going to take a little patience. And then you ask your fan base, who thought there might be restraint in the last couple of years where there was none. Now you ask them for that now.
Right. Yeah. It's tough. They're in a really difficult spot because to get a quarterback that where you hope maybe Penix falls to them. Maybe Nix falls to 12. That's a possibility. But as we've looked at, you know, at the teams that are going to be drafting for the head of the Broncos. Just to give you a quick refresher on this. You got the Bears. It's going to be Williams. May, Daniels, probably to the Commanders. Could be one of those other quarterbacks left over going to the Patriots. Cardinals, looks like Kyler Murray. That's who they've renewed faith in Kyler Murray. And also they added, oh gosh, who did they just recently get?
Well, as long as a new Call of Duty game doesn't drop this year, this next season, I think Kyler will be 100% focused on the Cardinals.
Yeah, who did they just recently? They added a quarterback. I'm trying to remember who it is that they, because there's been a lot going on. Been a lot going on.
I just like Kyler Murray and his love of the Brozier. You saw it on Tyler Kolek. The thing keeping him, yeah, lot big pecs, lots of pecs.
Big
chest
pecs.
Day. It's chest day, Jim.
Desmond Ridder. I'm sorry. Who did they get? They got Desmond Ridder from the Falcons. So they're not. You would think they're not looking for a quarterback. Chargers, no. Giants, yeah. Yeah. Titans with Will Levis, no. Falcons, they got Kirk Cousins, but they may go, okay, we need to get our future quarterback if there's somebody there. Your Bears, again, you got Williams. You're looking at other.
There, I think most of the pundits have Odunze right there at eight for a new weapon for Williams.
And then you got the Jets, the Vikings, which are looking to trade up from according to all reports, and then the Broncos. So we'll see what happens. Also, Monday's a big day, by the way. Oh, I should mention this first. They did address Courtland Sutton's situation at the presser yesterday. And George Payton said, Sean's talked to Courtland. I've talked to Courtland. He's in a good place. And they went out of their way to remind everybody that it's voluntary workouts. He didn't have to be there. All is well. Little Chip Diller, all is well. Things are going to be fine with Courtland Sutton. So, also in the Athletic, I want to mention this, that they have a piece about the teams that are ranking the most to least ideal quarterback needy teams for NFL drafts, top passers to land. And they're ranked on how quarterback friendly they are. Vikings are number one. Number two is your Bears.
What?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Grade A, pass, good offensive line, run game is solid B. A-minus weapons for your Bears.
Maybe I'm a pessimist.
Apparently so.
Maybe I'm a cynic, Jim.
You know what's number three? Kind of shockingly, in my opinion, the Denver Broncos. B-minus pass blocking, run game's a B. Weapons are C+. Play callers, give him an A for Sean Payton. Give him an A. So I guess Denver's got that going for them. Worst on this list, the Washington Commanders. Okay. Sorry, Steven. Our listener, Steven. Yeah. Big-time Washington Commanders fan.
I mean, you expect some things to, exceed or live up to expectations.
Okay, so the Broncos released their new uniforms on Monday. And Mile High Report has like a little mock-up of what the uniforms look like. It's what they think what the reports are they're going to look like. Okay. They've got a white stripe on the sleeve. There's some stitching from the collar to kind of the armpit. Doesn't look like anything real radically. Numbers. Oh, it's a little different. Okay. Have you seen the Lions' new uniforms?
No.
Those came out yesterday. They're a little bit of a throwback to the Barry Sanders era. The road jerseys include Detroit written across the chest and blue pants instead of the team's traditional silver pants. They also have a uni where the helmet is the Honolulu blue. The helmet is blue with black stripes, so it's a black jersey. With a black face mask. Kind of a good look. I didn't think it looked that bad.
Slick.
You like it? Looks pretty good, doesn't it? That's coming from a Bears fan.
Not bad. I was rooting for Detroit in the NFC Championship.
Come on, Dan Campbell, how could you not?
Yeah, right? I'm ready to bite somebody's kneecap.
The fighting knee biters.
Let's do it.
All right, 8:25, and it's time to play Where in the World is Tyler Franson. Do you have the open for that, by the way?
I will double check.
I thought I had it here somewhere, but I don't believe I have it. I think, is this it? I've got it. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, tell me!
Where the hell is he?
Well, I can't find him.
You cannot hide forever.
I will find you.
Ah, yes. Thank you, Jim. Franzen's at it again. He's in Denver right now. But this time, our intrepid hero, Carmen Sandiego, finds himself in a place that was originally going to be built for those ring-chasing bronze, silver, and gold lovers of the 1970s. Now, that didn't happen, and it took an act of nature in 1982 during a game in which ownership of a certain colored cup was being decided on the gridiron to actually get this building built. Renamed in 2005, this dome away from home was thought to be the first stadium with a fully retractable roof and a hotel. Where in the world is Tyler Franzen?
All right, so once again, if you've won the last 2 weeks, don't play. Keep that in mind. If you're not 21, don't play. If you don't want the prize, don't play. Simple as that. I'm not sure why you'd play if you don't want the prize, but anyway. So text in your answer right now to get that case of Fat Tire from New Belgium Brewery and High Country Beverage. First correct answer wins on the team line, 970-242-1340. Plus, you get into the drawing for the never-ending contest for that sweet Honda street bike with all the gear, helmet, you got it. Jackets.
Nice.
From Motorcycle Accessories. It is bike season. Get over to Motorcycle Accessories today, whether you're right street or dirt, and check out their great selection. So all the details at theteam1340.com. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warped, twisted individuals. Yes.
Yeah! The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Jim, along with Max Ryan today. What's this? Where'd you get this? What?
Story of my life.
Story of my life.
Social D.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't heard this in a
Mike,
while, but.
What's his name? Mike. He was.
Mike.
He started a solo career after he got done with Social Distortion.
Yeah, I just hadn't heard the song in a while. It's like, okay, it's a good tune.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Do we have a winner, by the way, for Where in the World is Tyler Franzen?
Congratulations.
Oh, hold on. Oh, whoa. Whoa, Rook. No, you're really a Rook. Spot player, utility guy. You got. We spend good money on this imaging. Jim Cutler, best in the business. We spare no expense for our imaging, and we have to get max value out of that imaging. Come on, Max Ryan. How long have you been in radio? You know how this works.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Thank you. Pardon, okay, now you can do it.
Pardon my crass unprofessionalism.
Wow, just
right
jump,
there.
Right.
Yeah.
Just gonna jump right to it.
This guy. Congratulations, Lee, correctly answering the Sky Dome, also known as the Rogers Center in Toronto.
And happy birthday to our buddy Cake today.
That's right.
Who, according to him, only had one beer last night at the Avalanche game. It's because Mom was with him, and Mom said, honey, just one.
I bet Mom actually shotgunned one of those beers. Probably looked at him straight in
Tyler's
the eye
mom
and said, you going to do it
beers?
Too, Tyler? And no. Tyler was like, I'm scared.
I think, Mommy, you scare me.
Yeah.
I think he's probably made a really good point about you'd have to take out, you know, some kind of loan to get a second beer.
They only sell you two at a time, Jim. Two at a time, that's it.
It's not cheap over there either. It's not cheap. Anyway, congratulations. This morning, too. Lee, correct?
Lee.
Way to go, Lee. Nicely done. All right, Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex with us.
Mr. Davis.
Mr. Wilson.
What's going on?
You okay today? Because the NHL Board of Governors, $1.2 million or $1 billion sale. At least the good thing is the Coyotes' name will stay in Arizona. That's good. And you kind of predicted that, and you thought that would be part of the deal, and that's good. I hope they don't pull a Washington football team thing with the team in Utah and go with a nameless team until they do a fully, you know, fleshed out naming campaign or something like that.
You know, I'm just so disappointed that when they, you know, rank the worth of all these franchises, they didn't have the Coyotes at $1.2 billion the past 5 years. Jeez. Yeah, what a mess that is, huh? Well, you know, happy for Utah. Like, you know, Salt Lake, right. You know, they're closer to us here in Grand Junction, which is nice. So, like, now, you know, our community has the opportunity to go watch the Avs and another 4-hour
drive.
And, yeah, it's all good. So, but yeah, I mean, it was pretty tough watching, you know, I kind of watched that last broadcast start to finish. And, you know, I grew up watching Todd Walsh and Tyson Ash and some of these guys who might end up, you know, without jobs moving forward and just, you know, big Coyote stuff. And, you know, you know, it was definitely sad, but it is what it is. We're doing a little better today than we were yesterday and Wednesday, though.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, because this, we talked about it earlier. This is difficult for somebody that's a fan of a team. I mean, Buckeye Boy went through this years ago when the Browns moved to Baltimore. Then there was the expansion Browns that came back. It's tough when you lose your team. It's just really, really hard. And I feel, you know, I was giving you some grief about it. It was meant to be good natured, but I do have a tremendous amount of sympathy for anybody, for yourself. We're friends, but that loses their team. I mean, it stinks. It's a terrible, terrible thing when that happens. And Marullo, you got to be frustrated that he didn't handle the situation better. And he's going to get a crack at the expansion team.
I know. That guy's brutal. I mean, he just did not take care of his people outside of just like the players. Because, you know, part of Utah, what they bought was Utah bought the draft picks, they bought the players, and they bought the hockey operations side.
Right.
Out of the Coyotes. But like all the other departments, basically, I mean, all this was going on this week. And, you know, those people still weren't even informed until like days after they let the players know what was going on. Right. And so poor all these employees and everything who are down there watching through social media and the news or whatever about what their job is looking like or if they're going to have one moving forward. So, you know, that's tough. Definitely takes a lot of jobs out, like hockey jobs out down there. And, you know, I worry about the youth hockey. Like, I want to make sure that, you know, I mean, they got a whole bunch of rinks and they still have healthy youth hockey down there. But, I mean, there's definitely going to be a lot of gas taken out growing and getting more players down in Arizona with the NHL team moving. But, you know, they can figure out an arena, right? And so, you know, it's evolution. You got to evolve. You got to move on. The NHL is not going to stop for one town, you know. But, you know, hopefully they get another crack at it with the expansion coming up, you know, in about 5 years into the decade. Yeah. So,
And that will mean somebody else will also have to get a franchise as well.
I was just going to say, like, I mean, someone put it in really good perspective, too. I mean, Minnesota lost their hockey team.
Yeah.
You know, like, the North Stars left to go to Texas, of all places, right? And you know, so Minnesota didn't have a team there for probably about eight to 10 years, and I think they got one back in 2000, 2001 with the Wild. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens.
Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex with us today. There was the talk about moving divisions and things like that for the Avalanche. Why would you change the Central now, though? Why would you do that? Because it makes no sense. I mean, Utah, Arizona, geographically, same part of the country. Why would there even be a consideration of that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea.
I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me. It's not like they're moving out of the time zone. They're moving halfway across the country. They're moving just north of where they previously were.
They're definitely right on the border of maybe the Pacific and the Central for sure. But I don't see any reasoning to have to alter what the divisions already were. Like, it's not a major change of scenery or anything like that that's going to really drive it crazy. You know, so I just don't know, like, what their ideas for that are. But I think that the divisions are probably going to be fine just the way it is right now, you know, with the eight teams and four different divisions. So
absolutely.
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to try to flip-flop or move or do whatever. But, you know, I think they're pretty set where they can at least this year, you know, the Utah Hockey Club or whatever they're going to be.
Whatever they're going to call them for the time being.
So, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We want to talk about the Avalanche alumni game that's coming to town. It's going to be over at River City Sportplex. Preview Avalanche and Winnipeg Jets, by the way. We'll do that. We'll have that Sunday pregame at 4:30 on the Team Sports Network. Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex with us. We'll take a break and come back with more on the Team Sports Network.
On the morning. morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
All right, welcome back, 842. Jim, along with Max Ryan and Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex with us today. So the playoffs begin for the Avalanche on Sunday at Winnipeg. And just looking at some of the numbers, just a quick cursory look at the stats. Avs are the superior offensive team. Jets are the better defensive team in this matchup. And we certainly saw that defense on display last Saturday, with that 7-0 loss to Winnipeg. And so it kind of comes down to that and as far as this matchup. We'll talk about McKinnon and what he did last night as well. We don't want to leave that undiscussed this morning. But start out with a matchup where the Avalanche and Winnipeg, Avs finished third in the Central, Winnipeg second, with Dallas, of course, winning the Central Division. How do you see this series shaking out between the Avs and the Jets?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I mean, it's going to be a good first-round matchup, I think. You know, it was funny. I think one guy, a beat writer or something for the Jets, came out, and he was saying how he thinks the Jets have one of the easier first-round matchups of any of the teams this year. And I'm like, oh, I don't know about that, buddy. I mean,
that's the wow.
Really. I know. Like a little fire to McKinnon's heart race there. But, you know, it'll be really interesting to see what happens, right? Avs don't have home ice advantage. You know, they start off in Winnipeg. There's going to be the wideouts up there. You know, these Canadian cities love their hockey, so I expect a, you know, pretty hostile environment for the Avs up there. But, you know, it'll be interesting. I mean, Winnipeg's only got one guy in the 70-point range. You know, that's Mark Scheifele. He's got 72 points. Everyone else is below that. I mean, their fifth top scorer doesn't even have 40 points, right, like you were mentioning. They don't have a whole bunch of offense, but they play a super smart defensive game. You know, love winning games 3-2s.
Connor Hellebuck is really good between the pipes.
He is probably one of the best goalies in the NHL. Him, Andre Vasilevsky, UC Saros. I mean, those guys and a couple others are going to be your top five goaltenders in the National Hockey League right now. So it's going to be a challenge trying to beat Connor Hellebuck, and he's very good.
And a strength of the Jets has been limiting chances in transition. That's where the Avalanche thrive, obviously, at the speed of McKinnon and that group, that it's probably the fastest hockey team in the NHL. But Winnipeg's really good in limiting team speed.
Yeah,
and that's going to be a big factor in the series as well.
Josh Morrissey is a really good defenseman for the Jets. He's going to be all over the place, kind of back there with them. You know, and they got a smart PK, and just the system that they ran up there, like, it's going to be a tight hockey game, and the Avs are really going to have to use their skill and speed to try and open it up a little bit more. And with that being said, the Jets' goal is going to be to trap and kind of collapse that speed and find a way to put layers out on the ice to kind of put – you know, speed bumps out there so that these guys can't develop as much speed moving up the ice, especially power play and stuff like that.
And I think Casey Mittelstadt becomes kind of an X factor in this thing with his ability as a playmaker. You know, certainly came over, you know, when he came over from Buffalo, got off to a great start in terms of some of his numbers there, but they dipped a little bit. Few games of the season, but he's played really well since coming over in the trade. Mittelstadt could be kind of an X factor when it comes to the Avalanche in this series.
Casey Mittelstadt and Johnny Drouin and the depth pieces, I definitely think are going to be what takes it over, because I think there's just going to be so much light shined on Rantanen and McKinnon and Makar that you get these guys, these Brandon Duhaims, these, you know, third line, fourth line guys, Trennan, like, these guys are the ones, and this is why Sakic and McFarland brought these guys in, was because we need that second, third line of offense to be able to go out and score. Mittelstadt's been great. I saw a stat that Johnny Drouin, I think it was per point or per power play point, is one of the best value signings across the NHL this year. Like, they made really good moves, right? Now it's going to see if we can, you know, put it all together. And Edmonton was pretty checked out last night, as they were on Wednesday against the Coyotes as well.
I mean, Dreisaitl didn't play, McDavid. Yeah. I mean, they rested their top guys last night.
They even tried to kill the Yotes. They kept all of them in against the Yotes to really just, you know, finish us. But they couldn't.
Jerks.
Yeah, I know, dude. Stupid Oilers. But, You know, so they had all those guys out last night. You know, last night was just kind of like a tune-up game. You know, I go back to longest yard when I think, you know, the Warden wants to try and get a tune-up game,
right,
you know, with Paul Crewe running the show. So, you know, it's kind of nice for the Avs to have that where they could get some reps, get confidence, score in front of the home crowd, gain some momentum, and now travel north to Winnipeg. So the other thing I was just looking up, Jim, is that it looks like if we're going to beat these guys, it needs to be using special teams. So Winnipeg's 21st on the PK out of 32 teams, right? So not very good on the PK. And I think the Avs have a top five power play. And then we're looking at, you know, they're only about 20th on the power play. You know, they're about, they're 22nd on the power play. So, I mean, if we have a chance or, you know, need to find a way to win, we got to draw some penalties and really try to get on the power play and open up their penalty kill.
Yeah, I mentioned Mittelstadt, but maybe a guy that we probably need to talk about more is Alexander Georgiev.
Yeah.
I mean, his .897 save percentage, 6 percentage points below the league average. He's not been very good here at the end of the season. Hellebuck on the other side. Can Georgie rise to the occasion in this series?
I have no idea. Yeah. I have no idea. There's a couple question marks out there right now for sure. I mean, I think we had a lot more faith in Kemper. Like when they made that cup run, you could tell that he was kind of on it. You know, I even feel like Georgie was maybe even more on it last year, you know, but I don't know. All it takes is one goalie to get hot. You know, he's a starter in the National Hockey League. He's still a good goalie, but yeah, he definitely has been letting in a lot of pucks, and that's super tough. And you know, we got to find a way to tighten that up. And talking about Avs goalies, Pavel Francouz retired officially today. I don't know if you saw that or not.
I did not catch that. It doesn't surprise me, though.
So, yeah, 33 years old. You know, he had that groin injury that happened, and he hasn't really, I don't think, been able to heal or get back to where he was at, which makes sense with that Eustace and Annan signing that happened a few months ago, you know, for 2 years. So, yeah, so Frankie, he's done, retired. So it's really Georgie and Eustace Annan moving forward. You know, even too, but yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think
Hellebuck's probably going to win the Vezina.
Hellebuck's a really good goalie.
So, I mean, that's the challenge for Georgie. And this is, you're going up against a guy that's probably the best goaltender in the league.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got to show up, you got to shine out. Like, and that's the gamesmanship within the game of hockey, right? Like those two goaltenders, like that is how they think, like they got to beat that other guy, you know, and there's a lot of different pieces in front of them and things that'll happen in order to see who wins or loses. But, yeah, I mean, that's got to be tough going up. And so, yeah, we'll really see what Georgie's got in him this first round.
Right. I got a call earlier, and I don't know if Deb is still listening or not. She called. It was hard to hear her on the phone. She had a question about the playoffs. And so, Deb, if you want to call us back or text in on the team line, 970-242-1340, you can ask us that question because it was a little hard to hear over the phone in regard to, you know, the Avalanche and Winnipeg. So send us a text. Give us a phone call, 970-242-1340. Last night, 2 assists for Nathan McKinnon in the 5-1 win over Edmonton. He surpasses Peter Stastny by 1 point, 140 to 139.
Wow.
For the most points in a single season in Avalanche history, in typical McKinnon fashion. That's cool.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yep.
I'm ready for the playoffs. I mean, that was just kind of his reaction last night. I mean, that was a record. It was set 81-82 season when they were still in Quebec. It just shows, once again, how great Nathan McKinnon is. And what a humble guy. Because he's like, yeah, well, I had one really good season, but Peter Stastny had a lot of great seasons. And I like how quickly he's like, I'm not chopped liver, but that guy was pretty damn good. And
he knows all the right answers, doesn't he? I mean, McKinnon's so funny. He's just so competitive, so professional when he talks to the media. Like, it's really hard to peel the layers back on that guy. But, you know, I feel like we really only see it when he's really pissed after a loss. Like, you know, he's never joking around, like, too much or anything like that. You know, you really see his emotions more when he's frustrated. But, yeah, I mean, he's awesome. Like, you know, I love that he's putting it back on, you know, putting it back on them, you know, of Peter and, you know. So it's just really cool. He's such a good guy.
Absolutely. We want to talk about the Avalanche alumni game coming up May 18th over at River City Sportplex.
Yep.
Give us the details on this.
Yeah. So we are going to start. Hopefully we're going to have admission out next week. We're going to have tickets on sale online. It'll be $25 for an adult. I think we're going to do 13 and under. We'll be $15, and we're going to try in any of the Riverhawks we have wearing their jerseys. They'll be able to come and have free admission. But, yeah, so we have right now it's about six or so Avs alumni coming down. I think we might get some DU alumni who just won the national
Congratulations
championship.
To DU. What an incredible win over Boston College.
It was awesome. So, you know, we're going to get hopefully about 10 to 12 alumni coming down. So a really good handful. You know, and we'll, basically what we'll do, and we'll have more info available, early next week. And if anyone's ever interested, you can always email me at jwilson@rivercitysportplex.com. Probably call in if they have questions, you know, ask you, and you can probably point them in the right direction.
Glad to do it.
Towards me as well. But yeah, no. So Friday we're going to have a very small, golf outing with the alumni up at Redlands Mesa. You know, and we're going to have one guy for about 10 different tee times or so we're going to have, and we're going to have one guy play with some of the public. So that'll be one thing that guys can go out and play golf with some of these guys. We'll meet and greet after. And then Saturday we're going to have the game, you know, which we'll have about 500 people or so. We're going to limit capacity. So that way everyone has an opportunity to try and see the game. You know, cause sometimes we get up to 800,000 people down there at the River City, and you know, it's just a little tough sometimes to see when you're four or five people deep on the glass. So we're going to try and have about 500 people there for the game. It'll be super fun. I'll be playing in it. You know, a couple of the other local guys, you know, and then we have the dozen alumni that'll be down there as well. So
any idea of Avalanche alum that are going to be here yet? Yeah, are you still kind of figuring that out?
Yeah, we're working. You know, so Michael Lyles, it depends on the Avs run here, you know, to see where the Avs are at. And same with John Mitchell. Who's also on the Altitude broadcast. We're working on having, who else was it? Kyle Quincy, we're trying to get to come, who was a former defenseman. There was one more really, really well-known name, but a couple of the other ones are guys that, you know, still live in Colorado and stuff, who were able to come make this. And I'm always surprised sometimes when, you know, and they haven't given me the actual list, sure. Right? You know, Hayduke still maybe, that's the one we were really trying to get as well. You know, we'll see. And I'm always surprised by the names too, where they come up and they have these names. I'm like, oh wow, I'm like, yeah, that's right. I'm like, oh that guy. Yeah.
That could be great to get that guy.
So
yeah.
It'll be really fun. We're gonna do a really fun thing too during the game. Second intermission, we're gonna do a shootout. At the intermission, and basically how the shootout will work is someone will sponsor an alumni player in the shootout, and it'll kind of be like a 50-50 where if whatever Avalanche player wins, they're going to split that entry fee with their sponsor who bought them, and then the other half goes to the youth club. So that's another fun thing that we'll do. So, you know, if anyone's also interested, you know, that's kind of probably more for like the gambling fans out there, you know, trying to ride a horse there and you know, but you know, a lot of guys too, you know, they'll win, they'll donate the money back and stuff. It's all in good fun. But it's just, we're really excited for the whole event. So
I'm looking forward to it. May 18th, Avalanche alumni game. And so details, yep. rivercitysportplex.com, you want to go there.
Yeah.
More of that information coming up, of course, here on the program as well. I believe we got Deb. Deb's got a question. Good morning, Deb. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call, Jim, or asking me to call back. And Jackson, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Ready to curl tonight. So, you know. Okay, so I just don't understand why we're playing the Jets. If we're number three in our division, but number four in points over all the teams, why are we playing the number two seed?
So, and that's due to how they have the wild card set up, Deb. So now with the top three in the Central and top three in the Pacific, the first seed in the Pacific plays one of the wild card. The first seed in the Central plays the other wild card. And then you have the second and third inside their own division play each other in the first round.
So are there eight teams or six? There's eight teams going, right?
And what they redid, instead of having a 1-8 seeding a few years ago, they really wanted to see more division rivalries in the first round. So they went to this system where the first seed in a division plays a wild card, and then the second and third seed within the division plays each other, and that creates more division rivalries. So
Okay.
Yeah, so the Jets finished second in the Central. The Avs finished third. That's why they're playing each other. And then we have the Dallas, the Stars finished first, so they're going to end up playing. Let's see, who do they play now?
I think they play the Kings.
Yep. They play Vegas.
Yep, and Edmonton, that's right, because LA. There was somebody lost last night or something. I can't remember, but yeah. Okay, that just seems to me, you know, so Avs will never have home field advantage at all.
Well, now if they,
I hate to interrupt here, guys. We got to go to break.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Okay, so,
but thanks.
Hey, we'll talk at the rink.
All right. Thanks, Deb. Appreciate it. Appreciate the phone call.
Okay, we'll talk at the rink. Bye.
All right, Deb over at River City Sportplex in charge of the curling over there. All right, hour three coming up.